Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It's wonderful to be here tonight. And it's been a wonderful week. Praise the Lord. Sister Sharon, Brother Leslie have been with us. And oh my, what a blessing and what a help. And oh, we've had wonderful fellowship. And you know, just thinking as I was leaving the house, we got a lot of things done. Yeah, and they're just wonderful workers and just want to do everything they can to help. And oh, what a blessing it's been. The only thing is, it's going to be hard to see them go. And I know Brother Leslie has to go early. He has to go, let's see that, okay, Friday. Yeah, Friday morning after our Passover service on Thursday, because he has to get back to teach his classes. He's an instructor, so anyway, oh my, but please keep him in prayer. And I know he fell before service tonight, so let's pray that his foot would, you know, heal properly, that there'd be no big aftermath. Amen? Are you feeling all right? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh my, the battles we fight. Yeah, it's truly, you know, something here as we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We fight battles. You just never know what a day may bring, but that's God, right? Helps us. God is with us, and oh, thank the Lord, we can give it all to him. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray as we begin here tonight. Let's ask God to have his way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have such a privilege to come here together. Oh God, to be in thy presence. Oh Lord, to gain those touches that we so desperately need from you, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, to look into thy word. Oh Lord Jesus, we are so blessed. And we are so privileged, Lord Jesus. I pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, you'd be here tonight. I pray that you talk to our hearts. I pray that you would move in our hearts. Oh God, I pray that your presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, we are needy, Lord. We could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, but we know that you are here to meet every need, oh Lord Jesus, and to help us, pilgrims and strangers through this world. Oh God, I pray that you'd be here, Lord. I pray that you'd move in us and help us. Oh God, I do pray also that you would help everyone on the road right now or everyone that's traveling tomorrow. Yes, oh Lord. God, I pray that the weather would not aggravate and oh God, send people the other way. And oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that you would prepare our hearts, Lord. Prepare our hearts that we might receive your word, Lord. Oh God, that we might, oh Lord Jesus, be drawn closer to you, Lord, to be more like thee, Jesus. Oh God, I pray that you'd help us here, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words, the ability, the authority, the anointing in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. Oh God, talk to us. Give us what we have need of, Lord, for we, oh God, I say it again, we could do nothing without you. Oh Lord, I praise you and thank you, Lord. Oh God, continue to help Sister Sharon and Brother Leslie. Such a blessing to have them, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them for, oh God, all the endearing things they have done. Yes, and oh Lord Jesus, I pray that his foot would heal just beautifully, Lord. And oh God, that, oh God, it would not become a problem. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Our God is faithful. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And oh, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing to be on his side. To have, oh, yes, to know him. To, you know, have our sins taken so that they're not in our face, you know, that we don't have them on our backs. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be talking about the true riches here tonight. You know, we are so involved in this world so often. I mean, you know, we live here in this world, in this environment, and, you know, we have to deal with everyday things, and, you know, some things we just can't get past. But praise the Lord, we have something beyond this world that is so precious and so valuable. And, you know, when it comes to our realizing that, you know, really, we're just here for a little bit. Our lives are but a vapor, and, you know, we have our little moments here on this earth, and then, you know, we're gone from the face of this earth. But praise the Lord, our God has prepared a place for those that love Him. And oh, yes, we've got something so beyond this world. And, oh, it's a wonderful thing to have that hope. Some people have false hopes, you know. They believe in something that is not real or genuine. But we've got something that has proven to be very true. And we will know the reality of it one of these days. Amen. We stand before God and we, oh yes, we see Him face to face. Oh yes, you know, we're going to realize at that moment, you know, just, oh, how endearing it was, how wonderful it was that He reached down to find us when we were so astray and so lost. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, I maybe had totally wrong thinking and everything else, but God has had mercy to us, shown mercy to us, and oh, praise the Lord for that, amen. Praise the Lord. And Sister Pauline did come through the surgery, and I'm sure she's recovering, and we're still praying for her because, you know, we don't want any, you know, anything to happen since that point, and hoping that they didn't find anything negative by the grace of God. Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. So we're keeping this dear sister in prayer, and I know you are too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. We are going to go to Proverbs here as we start tonight. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 13. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, these Proverbs, you know, you can be reading them and all at once one will just stick out. It can be such a gem. And you just know, wow, it's the verse for the day, perhaps. But let's look at this verse, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a very interesting verse, isn't it? You know, and oh yes, you know, there's that old saying that you become what you think about the most. And there are certain people that, you know, strive for riches or to have the advantage in one way or the other. And, you know, they base their whole life around it, trying to gain and trying to have that job. Oh, that will, you know, make big money and maybe those investments and everything else that one can think of. But my, you know, is that what life is all about? Is that what we need to strive for? But on the other hand, it tells us, there are that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And oh my, there's another side of the coin. For the natural man, it's not so easy to think that you would deliberately, you know, disregard wealth and riches. And I do know people that could have had very lucrative jobs and you know, made a lot more money. It just comes to mind. I know Pastor David Meyer did turn down some very lucrative jobs in his lifetime. But, you know, That wasn't what life was all about to him. And I thank the Lord because, you know, when we read his word and get a glimpse of the things that are beyond and just, you know what the true riches are, oh my, you know, we know that life isn't all about accumulating things and you know, gaining wealth and money and all of those things. It's so vain. And, you know, people know anyway, you know. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean that you're happy, even. So, by the grace of God, we don't want to have that kind of thinking.
Amen.
In fact, let's go to the book of Revelation here for a moment, and let's look at the second chapter. Here in the second and third chapters of Revelation, we have the seven churches that John was speaking of as he was anointed, as the Lord gave him this vision here. So here we're going to go to the eighth verse. And here we're talking about the second church that is mentioned here in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the church at Smyrna. And these were real churches that did exist in, in the area of Turkey these days. But anyway, let's just see how the angel of the church at Smyrna was addressed here in this second chapter of Revelation. It tells us, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And of course, the second death is the lake of fire, as we're told in the later chapter here in Revelation. But here, there's a couple of things I want us to note. And in all of the addresses here to the seven churches, it always starts, as you know, the specifics here in as in there being described, "I know thy works." And that's a given. The Lord knows our works. He has seen us, you know. He has known us. He knew us before the foundation of the world in reality. But oh my, you know, he's very cognizant of how we live, how we talk, you know, what our life is all about. He even knows our thoughts. So yes, all of these churches, you know, it's told them that, you know, God knows their works. But beyond this, there's other characteristics that always go in and with each description, but here, as Smyrna is being addressed, it says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." Oh, they were not going through an easy time. And oh yes, it's well brought out in this description. But I like what it says in parentheses here after poverty. It says, "But thou art rich." And you know, that is so amazing because again, as we will study tonight, the true riches that we want to attain are not the things of this world. They are not the things that are seen. The things that are seen are temporal. They're going to vanish. They're going to disappear. You know, they're going to be burnt up. They're going to be consumed. But the things that will last are the things that we do for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord for one another. Yes. Oh, yes, for that struggling soul that we see. And oh, yes, those that we talk to. And oh, those prayers that we pray and all of that. Yeah, that's what it's all about. But yes, this church was probably one that you wouldn't easily envy. You know, here they are going through tribulation. And I'm sure that means persecution. And oh, yeah, it wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty. It was difficult. And besides, poverty is mentioned. But yes, I love that clause, but thou art rich. You know, some of you know this, you've heard me say this before, but years ago, you know, we had just moved into our house, and you know, we honestly had very little furniture. We had very little, period. The Lord had arranged so that we could get that house, and it, I mean, there is no way we could have done it except the Lord worked that out. But anyway, you know, people, you know, donated certain things, and you know, one of the members that we were working with at that time, you know, gave me some drapes to put over the front windows, you know, and they didn't really fit. They were too big, and, you know, I had to pin them over because they were way too long, and, you know, I didn't really like them to start with, you know, and I was just lamenting one day, oh, Lord, you know, those drapes, you know, la, 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 but anyway. You know, I heard the Lord speak to me. And as I was lamenting, I guess my poverty in that sense, he said, but thou art rich. And praise the Lord, it changed me. You know, I began to realize, hey, I've got something so much more of value than anything of this world. You know, I've got treasures, you know, beyond this world. And, you know, our life here on earth isn't what about what we can accumulate or, you know, who we know or the fame or, you know, fortune we make. No, it's all about what we can do for the Lord. Oh, the impact we can have for the kingdom of God in this short little life. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. The things that we do for God. Amen. And yes, they obviously were in great trouble there, as it would appear to many. And obviously, you know, saying, you know, blasphemy of them that which say they are Jews and are not. So I assume that there was oppression greatly from false Jews, and certainly if they were claiming to be Christians, that was obviously not the case, but they were literally of the synagogue of Satan. Oh my, there to plague them and to torment them. But here in the midst of this great struggle, they're told not to fear none of the things which they were going to suffer. And this is, you know, which thou shalt suffer. So, you know, it's not saying might, you know, or maybe, you know, it's, you know, which thou shalt suffer. And, you know, the devil is the agitator behind all of this. It tells us clearly it's the devil. The devil shall cast some of you into prison. Yeah, he uses his cohorts. He uses people. You know, he uses nasty people who are led by him, that are instigated by him. And yes, they would be tried, and they would have tribulation 10 days, which I am sure is a figure of this period of trouble that they were enduring. But it says, be thou faithful unto death. And praise the Lord, the treasures beyond this world. And I will give thee a crown of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And, you know, with each of the churches, too, I know that. It also talks about the blessing that would come forth if they would overcome. As the 11th verse brings out here regarding Smyrna, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Praise the Lord. Oh, the lake of fire. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that's what we're striving about. This period of time here on this earth is all about overcoming. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of trouble, you know. things will go wrong. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we, you know, snub our toes, you know, sometimes, oh my, you know, we break dishes. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe the dog runs away. I don't know, but, you know, it's likely to be something pretty often, you know, because that's life. But praise the Lord, we've got to overcome. That's what this is all about. It's about enduring hardships. As a good soldier, as Paul wrote to Timothy, and you know, getting through it, you know, overcoming, not letting these things, you know, hit us on the head and clobber us so that we think, oh my, this is too hard and I can't do it for another minute. Oh, God forbid that we would look back or that we would, you know, forget the goodness of the Lord and you know, just give up. Oh, by God's grace, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Oh, yes, because, oh, yes, there's great treasures on the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So, yes, we are admonished quite often in God's word that we are not to go after the things that perish. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter right now. Read some words that Jesus stated here, John chapter 6. And here in John, this 6th chapter, we can read of the feeding of the 5,000 and that wonderful miracle that Jesus had done there, that multitude that followed him, and you know, he went up to the mountain to be with his disciples, and you know, I just all of that, the crowd came. People had heard of the wonders and miracles that Jesus was doing, and yeah, they wanted to see more. But here it was that day when, you know, that great company of people had been there. Jesus had done miracles, and oh my, he had taught the people, and you know, after a while, you just get hungry, part of, you know, our existence on this earth, and you know, Jesus, you know, wanted to know, you know, well, you know, should we, you know, where can we go to buy food, and you know, that wasn't gonna be too possible. You know, Philip had answered and said 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that even they would, you know, each have a little bit, a small portion. And then Andrew, one of the disciples, spoke up and said that there was a little lad there who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but you know, what is that among so many? You know, 5,000 men plus women and children. I mean, that's a rather big crowd, and you know, but we serve a God who can do anything, and he can take our little and multiply it, you know, and that goes for our talents and our abilities. You know, God can take our little when we give it to him. He knows how to take it. Is we allow him to use us. He knows how to grow us. He knows how to help us to use those abilities that he has given us, and then, you know, to even multiply it. And I love that. That's a characteristic of our God, to take our little bit and grow it. And that's what he did with those 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Oh, yes, he had them all sit down, the men sit down on the grass. There was a lot of grass in that place. And yeah, it says men sat down, and there were about 5,000 of them. And then Jesus took those loaves, and he gave thanks. And then he distributed them to his disciples. The disciples went to them. They were sat down, and you know, they had food. God multiplied that food. Oh, so they were all filled. And besides, there were even fragments. Oh, besides that, there were 12 baskets of fragments that were left after this miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Amen. Praise the Lord. So yes, that wonderful miracle had happened. And oh my, you know, after that, you know, Jesus realized he needed to get away, You know, the people were understanding that he was a prophet that should come into the world, or even that prophet. I think some of them were trying to, you know, remember or understand that he was the Messiah. And so anyway, he sends his disciples away, and they go into a ship, and then it's another amazing event that as the disciples are rowing there, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Now, praise the Lord, coming near the ship. And Jesus calms their fears, saying, "It is I, be not afraid." And amazing thing, once he was in the ship, immediately they were at land. Well, the people that had witnessed this miracle, you know, wanted more, obviously. I'm going to start with verse 22. And read a little bit here. It says, "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Oh, you know, this is very puzzling. You know, they obviously were watching, they saw he didn't get on the boat with his disciples, and, you know, then they tried to search him where he was, you know, thinking, well, he must have stayed back there. No, he came walking on the water. Oh my, and then they were suddenly at land. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So anyway, they're looking for Jesus. And it tells us in verse 25, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" How did you get here, you know? They look for him at Capernaum, but he's not there. So they go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, I believe. And anyway, oh, Jesus has a response for them. And here it is in verse 26. "Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Obviously, Jesus perceived that their minds were carnal. They were carnal, and they were just looking for more of the goods of this world, you know, more miracles, you know, and all of those things that, you know, the carnal mind loves. But here it is in verse 27. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Oh, praise the Lord. There's a deep message here. Praise the Lord. Oh, man's tendency to go after the things of this world. But oh my, there's, a telling here that they would say, oh my, that they would not go after the meat that perisheth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're in John. The sixth chapter right now, and I just read verse 27, where it says again, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Oh, Jesus was on that mission, to do his Father's will, amen. And oh, yes, he knew what it was all about. He was here on the earth, for that space of time. Oh, yes, to bring about the kingdom of God, to introduce it to the world. But he knew that it would take his death on the cross. Oh, yes, to buy salvation. Oh, yes, so that we could have eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord for the wonderful gift that he gives us, praise the Lord. But here, yes, and we are talking about the true riches here tonight. And yes, we're going into the things that we are, you know, that are things of the world that Jesus, you know, clearly told us not to go after, these things that perish. So yes, let's go to another place in the gospel. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 here for a moment. Matthew 16 here. Oh, yes. Here we're told, I'm going down to verse 24, Matthew 16 and verse 24. It tells us, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, what a profound question. Yes, the natural tendency, as we've already stated, is to go after the things of this world, you know, to try to gain the advantage, you know, to try to, you know, gather wealth and fame and fortune or whatever, you know, to make a good lifestyle and all that, to have the things of this world. But here, Jesus is telling us something far greater. The necessity for us to, you know, not think like the carnal man, but, you know, to deny ourselves, to, you know, to take up that cross that he has given us. And we all have a cross that we need to bear. And, you know, that cross, it's not a literal cross that some might try to drag along, you know, and trying to replicate perhaps what Jesus did. But no, that cross would be the circumstances of our lives, you know, the ordeals that we have to go through to overcome. And so, yes, here, Jesus, he's telling his disciples that, you know, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me, then deny yourself. It's not doing what we want to do as individuals, but he has something beyond that he wants us to do. It means submitting to his will, surrendering to his will, to give it over to Jesus and say, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" Amen. And yes, he tells us, you know, if you're going to strive to save your life and to, you know, gain all the advantages that you can as a carnal man, if you're going to strive for the riches of this world and you know, the fame, the fortune, whatever all that you might want as a carnal individual, as a natural man, then, you know, you're going to lose it. Because when we get over on the other side, the things that will matter are eternal. Amen. They are eternal. But, you know, if you lose your life for his sake, in other words, if you surrender to his will, his ways, you're going to save your life. Because, yes, there are eternal treasures far beyond that are so beyond anything we could ever accumulate on this earth. Amen. Oh, yes, that necessity to take up our cross and follow him. A little bit more of that here in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Verse 37. Matthew 10, verse 37. It says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." In other words, we need to put Jesus first, his will, his ways, before any individual. You know, sometimes our loved ones even get in the way of the will of God. And, you know, we need to look beyond that, because more than anything else in this world, we want to do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. We want to do His will. So we need to put the kingdom of God first before anything else. Amen. Amen. And it tells us in verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." And again, here it's going to kind of repeat a little bit what we just read in the other portion there. But here it tells us, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, in Luke, the 9th chapter, when it talks about taking up our cross, it says taking up our cross daily. And I think that is significant too, you know, because every day is a new opportunity. Every day has its challenges. Every day, you know, we need to go down to our knees and ask God, "How would you have me to live this day? What is your will for this day?" Amen. Oh, please direct my life this day and help me, Lord. You know, help me to take up that cross and follow you. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes. Because, yes, there's something so much greater than this short little life that we live here on earth. Amen. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter right now. Amen. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to go to this parable that Jesus told here in this chapter, down to verse 13 here. Luke 12, verse 13. And here, as Jesus is in their midst, obviously, it tells us, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And, you know, that seems, you know, logical, you know, legitimate and all, you know. I mean, you know, but life isn't always fair. And, you know, you kind of get to know that after a while. But anyway, this is how Jesus responded here. Verse 14. "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And then he tells his story. "And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Oh, yes, there's a deeper story that he's telling us here. These earthly things that, oh my, people strive for. Oh my, this is not what life is all about. "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And then, oh, this little story. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Oh, he was doing well. Oh, yes, the crops grew bountifully. And, you know, oh, my, his barns were full. And, oh, my, there were even more to put in. Oh, my, and no place to put them. And, oh, wow, you know, wow, I'm getting rich. I'm really doing well. You know, whatever thoughts were going through the mind. And so, wow, well, I need more room. I need more space. Yeah, I gotta bestow my riches, you know, someplace. You know, so he said, verse 18, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And besides," oh, not just to do that, "and I will say to my soul," oh, do you ever talk to your soul? He's talking to his inner being here. He says, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." In other words, he felt like he'd done well, and you know, now he could just, you know, kind of ease through life, you know, and just, you know, do all the good old things that, you know, his heart so desired. And so, it tells us in verse 20, But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Well, quite a point to this little story, isn't it? You know, because you can put all your time and all your efforts into the things of this world, the affairs of this world, you know, getting more, you know, and people who are rich, you know, usually they want a little more and a little more, and when is it enough, you know, always a little more, you know. But oh my, there comes a point when it's all over, and then, you know, that understanding, you're going to stand before God. You're going to need to give an account of your life, you know. And, you know, it won't matter if you were, you know, brilliant, if you were rich, you know, even the richest person in the world. I mean, it's not going to matter at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, because, yes, there was something greater to strive for during this little short lifetime. You know, life was obviously about something beyond the things of this world. And oh my, this farmer had not valued the things that mattered most. And oh, he was so into just making things better and more and oh, gaining riches and wealth and then just having his good old time, you know, just take it easy, have a party, you know, take a drink, you know, be merry, you know, forget about all the other things, you know, forget about others, you know, you just do what you want to do. Oh my, not good at all. And Jesus ended this story by saying, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Oh, so how it ends there. Oh, if that's your goal, that's what you are aiming for. Oh my, there comes a point when, oh my, you're going to realize that it was not worth it. Oh my, that you had not gained the real treasures, all the real treasures that God has for his people. Oh my, let's go to Psalms right now. Psalms 119, and we're not going to read the whole psalm, but we're going to read just a small portion here, going to verse 161. You know, this really struck me just recently when I was reading God's word, and it tells us here, Psalms 119, verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. And oh yes, I think of in times of old, you know, when the armies would come out to fight, that they would bring their goods with them, you know, treasures and all those kind of things, I suppose, not knowing how long the battle would rage and, you know, wanting to have plenty or maybe worrying about somebody taking them if they weren't at their side. But, you know, after if you gained the advantage in warfare, you know, you would end up by taking the spoil after it was over. But here the psalmist is talking about the word of God. Oh, something so much greater than the things of this world. And oh yes, you know, it's interesting, verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause. This individual has been going through a struggle, but he's not, you know, really delving into that. He's not really all that concerned about the trouble the others are causing him, but he's obviously fixed on the Word of God. He says, "But my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Oh, he's thinking of the good things of God and the wonders of God's word. And then, yes, he says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Oh, praise the Lord. The great treasures that are in God's word. Oh, yes. Oh, it's a wonder. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. You know, you never know what you're going to find in the scripture. Sometimes you just might open it up and you know, read something. Perhaps you read it before, but all at once it just really hits home. And oh my, you see it like you never saw it before. And it talks to your heart. Maybe it encourages you. Maybe it strengthens you. You know, maybe it gives you more faith. And, oh yes, you know, the ability to continue this walk with the Lord. Oh, it's, you know, you just never know what treasures you're going to find in God's word. But here the psalmist, oh yes, was standing in awe of God's word. Oh yes, that we would stand in awe of God's word. Oh, such treasures. Amen. Going here to Matthew chapter 13. This chapter of many parables that Jesus brought forth as he ministered on this earth. Tells us here, going to verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Can you imagine this here, you know, out there digging in the field, maybe getting ready to grow crops? And all at once, to one's great amazement, oh, a treasure that was hid in a field. People often buried their inheritances and things back then, and I imagine this did happen from time to time. I'm sure it did. But so it was. Oh, and it wasn't just a couple little pieces. It obviously was very valuable, and you know, that man, when he found it, oh, wow, he had to try to hide it first. Oh, because, you know, he realized, oh my, this is so precious. This is so valuable that I've got to just give everything that I own in order to have this field. And then there's another parable that Jesus told relating to the kingdom of heaven again. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, praise the Lord. Can you imagine that? The merchant man, and oh, he was looking for pearls. And one day in his search, he found one pearl, just one pearl, but it was so spectacular, it was so amazing, it was so great that, oh, he was going to sell everything that he had in order, oh, to have that one pearl. And Jesus is likening the kingdom of heaven unto the treasure that was hid in the field, so precious and so valuable that one would sell everything that they had in order to gain that treasure. And then secondly, oh yes, the merchant man who was seeking goodly pearls and found that one pearl of great price. Oh, that was so amazing that he was willing to go and sell everything that he had just to gain that one pearl. Oh yes. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven and how precious it is. Oh my, you know, the treasures beyond this world are so beyond anything that we could imagine, that it's worth any hardship, any trial, any difficulty that we would go through in this world in order to gain the treasures of heaven. Amen. Oh, it's so precious. And we are just so blessed, oh my, to find it in God's Word, the things that are revealed on the pages of this precious book. Oh yes, when we gave ear to the Word of God, when we, yes, realized our need to give our hearts over to God, to repent of our sins, and then obey the command to be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yes, oh my, when it just came to us, hey, there's something so great and so powerful, so precious that, it's worth anything in this world in order to gain it. Oh yes, to overcome, to live in victory, to gain that advantage. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, oh yes, oh, the place where our treasures need to be. Oh, Jesus spoke of it, Matthew, the 6th chapter. Amen, if you'll turn there with me. Praise the Lord, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. It tells us, Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For then we're told in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there is something so beyond this world. Oh, the wonderful treasures of God's word, of his ways, of the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, yes, I have not seen, ear hath not heard, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. As it tells us, 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, I believe. Yes, oh, there are things so beyond. Oh, if we could just, realize what's of value in this world and what we need to attain, what our goals need to be, what we need to strive for in this world. It tells us in Psalms 19, going down to verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And oh yes, it tells us in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And yes, beyond that it tells us in verse 11, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, praise the Lord, the treasures of God's word. When you realize the deepness of this matter, oh, what is in this book, how we need to love it and, hide it in our hearts the best we can and, glean from it whatever is possible. Yes. Oh, yes, what is in this book, this treasure, this word of God, it's more to be desired, than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Oh, it is sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. And yes, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Oh, praise the Lord, the things that are on the other side. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, on the other side. Oh, treasures there have I. Oh, treasures that this world and all its wealth could never buy. It's going to be so amazing when we get home, if we've overcome this world, you know, and we stand before God, and we inherit eternal life and see the good things that he has set aside for us as his children. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it was bought with a price. None of this came cheap. You know, Jesus, came to this world. Oh, yes. God Almighty manifested in the flesh, came to this world to buy us our salvation. Oh, yes, we were without hope in this world. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody, oh, yes, who could take that condemnation off our back, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, there's none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior. And thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. Our Savior paid a price. You know, he knew what it would take. He knew good and well it would take the shedding of his blood on the cross to buy us our salvation.
Amen.
Oh, yes, so that we could be free of our sins. Amen. So we could give them over to Jesus Christ, be freed from those sins, that they would no longer be on our back.
Amen.
You know, because sin is enmity with God. Sin is nothing to play with. No, sin keeps us away from God. When sin entered into the world, in the Garden of Eden, it separated man from God. They no longer had that fellowship with God. All at once, sin came in. Oh, yes, and all the characteristics that it brings. All at once, there was fear. Oh, my, death entered into the world. And oh, my, all the other emotions and struggles. Oh, yes, curses were put upon the earth. It was no longer the same. Sin brought great trouble. But praise the Lord, there was a promise that one day there would be a Savior. Oh, yes, who would break the back of Satan. Amen. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. And yes, that happened at Calvary when Jesus Christ came into this world. Oh, yes, to redeem us from our sins, to buy us back. So, yes, we can walk. Oh, yes, freed of our sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, we can look forward to that inheritance. Oh, yes, that is laid up for those that love him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be so worth it. Oh, yes, to overcome this world. Yes, there's struggles at times. There's problems. There's sickness. Oh, my, there's pain at times. But, oh, we got to realize there's a goal that's beyond this world. There's something that we're focusing on. It's beyond this world. And, you know, that's, you know, as I said, that's where we want our heart to be. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And by the grace of God, you know, we want to be focused on the things that are eternal. Amen. Oh, yes, so that's what we strive for. That's the mastery that we want to strive for in this world. And, you know, he's going to help us. The Lord's going to help us. Yes, you know. Oh, yeah, he helps us to bear those burdens. Yeah, he helps us to overcome. He sent forth the gift of the Holy Ghost, yes, so that we might have power from on high and live in victory. Amen. Oh, live to overcome this world. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. But yes, our eyes need to be focused on the goal. On the goal. And yes, as I'm teaching here tonight, it just comes to me what it tells us here in Philippians. Here, the third chapter of Philippians. Here Paul is writing, and he says, verse 7. Well, I don't know what that will... Okay, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And he's talking about his background, his pedigree. And he was, you know, very important in the Jewish Sanhedrin before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, he was highly esteemed. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the law. He was a Pharisee, he tells us, verse 5. He had zeal, and yes, he was persecuting the church. Brother Samuel talked about that on Sunday. And, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. But yes, he realized after he met Jesus, hey, that pedigree, you know, that background, that esteem that he had of man was not worth it. It wasn't worth it. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You know, all at once he realized, hey, there's something to press for. There's something greater. There's something beyond. And he says in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He's looking at his background, at his pedigree, and all those things that men esteem, and all at once he realized, hey, it's nothing, it's but dung. You know, it's worthless, in other words. But oh, look at this. This is what it came to. This is what was in his heart now. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, our own righteousness, as it tells us in the book of Isaiah, is worthless. We're not going to get to heaven by our own works or by our own righteousness. You know, it's going to take being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that which he did for us, you know, that which we could not do of ourselves. But praise the Lord, you know, he takes us, we come to him as we are, and he takes us, and oh boy, he begins to reform us, he begins to work in us, he begins to change us, he's got some things to chisel off to make us so that we'll fit, oh, in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. You know, we got to prepare, we got to get ready, but you know, he knows how to do it. Yeah. He knows how to do it, and that's what life is all about. Oh yes, that one day when we stand before him, we won't be clothed in our own dirty sins, our own righteousness, but rather will be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, no, because he clothes us with his righteousness.
Amen.
He puts it upon us. Amen. Not of works that we have done, you know, not anything that we could boast of ourselves. But he says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And oh, yes, you see the great desire of his heart, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh yes, because if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh yes, there was something he was striving for. It was beyond this world, you know. I just want to be able to stand before God. Oh yes, I want to be clothed in his righteousness. I don't want those sins on my back. Oh yes, I've given them to Jesus. And oh yes, I want to be made conformable. Oh, unto his death, you know. The things that, when he take up that cross and follow him, I believe that's the process of becoming conformable. Oh, yes, to the ways of God, ways of Jesus Christ. Yes, because, yes, if by any means, you know, no matter what it might mean, you know, no matter how I might have to suffer, that I just might attain or gain, oh, yes, the resurrection, the dead, oh, to be able to stand, to, oh, be clothed with his righteousness, to have everlasting life. Praise the Lord in Christ Jesus. He says, not as though I had already attained or gained this advantage. Either we're already perfect. No, because we're striving. But I follow after it that I may apprehend or gain that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know, there was this goal. This was, you know, something to strive for. Oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Something to that had to be endured in order to attain this promise. And then he tells us in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or already got there. I'm still working on it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then, yes, we see, you know, what his focus was all about. Yes, I want to go forward. Yes, you know, I'm not going to look back. Those things behind, that's the past. It's over, you know. You're not going to do anything about the past. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, but I'm going to reach for those things which are before. The goal, you know, the object of my existence, what I am striving for. And he says it in verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. His focus, his eyes were on the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is what he was working for. That is what he was striving for. Oh yeah, eyes on the goal. You know, we go through things here on this earth. It isn't always fun. It can be rather difficult at times. But praise the Lord. The Lord goes with us. And oh, yes, he knows how to help us through every detail. And, oh, yes, as we strive, as we work toward our goal, he knows how to help us, how to take those heavy burdens, and oh, yes, how to lighten them and show us the way. Show us the way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, because there's something so beyond this earth if we will take up that cross and follow Jesus. Oh, yes, that we will keep our eyes pressed to the goal. You know, not on things of earth, oh, things that are going to perish, but on those treasures that are waiting for those that love God, those that strive for the mastery, those that overcome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us here as I get ready to close 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Oh my. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that light that shined into our heart. Oh, yes, that we might know Jesus Christ. Oh, my, that we might be his children. Oh, that we might walk with him. And that light that lightens our path so we don't have to walk in the darkness anymore. We don't have to stumble. We don't have to fall because the light of God, oh, shines. Oh, that we might see, that we might know the way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. tells us, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's something so beyond the treasures of this world. This earthen vessel, this body that, you know, we've got to endure till we get home, till we get to heaven. You know, we have a treasure. And it's, you know, it's beyond this world. It's, you know, the focus on the things that are above, the things that are eternal. Yes, the excellency of the power, that it may be of God and not of us. Yes, because we want to show Jesus. We want to shine Jesus. You know, we want to talk Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. It tells us the later in this scripture. Verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Oh, yes, you know, it might overflow. It might, it might abound, really. Redound, abound to the glory of God. It tells us in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, praise the Lord, and how we need the treasure of God's word. Oh, yes, we need to be renewed day by day so that we will have the strength and the ability, oh, yes, to go forward, to attain that goal, to keep our eyes on that mark. Amen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yeah, light affliction, which is but for a moment. Yeah, we could just get past it. Oh, and keep our eyes, our focus right. Oh, it's just for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, there's so, oh, amazing. So many amazing things beyond this world. It tells us, as this chapter ends, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, praise the Lord, the things that really matter. Oh, praise the Lord, the treasures that are beyond this world, the true treasures. Oh, yes, that are reserved for them that love God. Oh, praise the Lord, by his grace, by his mercy. Oh, to keep that focus. Oh, yes, keep pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, it's not the things down here, oh, that are going to get us to heaven. No, it's the things that we do on behalf of the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, that are going to count for those treasures that we lay up on the other side. Praise the Lord. Amen. The true treasures. Praise the Lord. Yes, that verse that we started with, Proverbs 13, verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Oh, praise the Lord, the riches of his kingdom. All the things that we want to strive for, the things that that are eternal, the things that are not seen, all those treasures that are waiting for us in heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for talking to us, moving us, talk to us. Oh, God, lead us, guide us, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, Lord, we would walk in truth, Lord, and lay up those treasures, oh Lord, on the other side. Oh God, and do the things that really matter for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books and turn to number 128 and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. 128 in the chorus book. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of the earth thank you.
Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.